It's been a strange couple of months. Well, in fact, it's been strange for a little bit longer. You know what it's like, don't you? You think you've cracked it, and something comes along that you have to get your head round, and you hope it makes sense. It's a bit like an on-continuous roller coaster at times, except for you're never quite sure where you're going to get off and wander. And I imagine that's how some of the disciples felt. They thought they'd come to know Jesus and recognise him as the Son of God. And yet, when he was arrested, they deserted him. They weren't certain, although he had told them he'd be back to life in 3 days. And the resurrection, it took a while to get their head around it. But it wasn't to the 12 that he appeared first. It was to those on the fringes, the women, who could believe and accept. For disciples, it took slightly longer. And then he was there, and then he wasn't. He appeared very occasionally, but during that period of 50 days from a resurrection, he enabled the disciples to recognise the calling that he had given them, the calling that he had given each one of us. But it's that amazing bit, isn't it? Before he ascended back into be with God, he said, wait. Wait till the Holy Spirit, my gift, my Father's gift to you, comes upon you to empower and strengthen you. And we're told at that point, as they met together, about 120 of them, the apostles, the followers of Jesus, including the women, and they got their heads round a little bit. They didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm not sure whether they really expected what happened on that day of Pentecost to actually happen as it did. It must have been, I was going to say, mind-blowing, really. Somehow they went with it, because they'd spent that time in preparation, in prayer. And it was a time, Pentecost, the festival of a spring harvest, giving thanks to God. And it's also meant to be the time when they celebrate the Torah, the Jewish Old Testament. Because they say that it was 50 days after the Exodus that Jesus, God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. But what do you think? We just sort of think, well, mighty wind, great, what's new? Tongues of fire, always quite spectacular. But I just want to read you something, a quote that I came across. Because we can narrow it down and get the major impact it must have had. The Greek terms describing their reactions could be appropriately rendered as confused, in an uproar, beside themselves, undone, blown away, thoroughly disorientated, completely uncomprehending. It opened the doors into a liberating, open-ended array of possibilities made possible by the unconstrained Spirit of God. So they completely worked with it. And people were looking on. You know what it's like when an accident happens, or you're around when somebody's caught fire. I remember growing up, and there was always one house just down the road. Every so often it really got quite exciting, because the fire engines came, because the chimney had caught on fire, and the flames were coming out the top. It really was quite something for a young person, a young child. And you can guarantee it could happen at least a couple of times a year. And we never grew tired of it. But we forget the impact. And we forget, don't we? We often see major winds, major fires as destructive. But here, wind and fire is also positive. And it's not the gentle wind. It's a mighty wind. And we forget that, don't we? We read it, because we hear it every year and in between. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? To be open to God's Spirit. And towards the end of the service, we will be saying that we want to be open to the Spirit, both as individuals and as a church, to His empowering, His life-changing Spirit, God's Spirit. And I still stagger when I read it. The more often I read this passage, the more often I think, a bunch of folk from the north of Israel, Galileans, often despised, seen as not worth it, appeared to be not educated, and they were in Jerusalem waiting. And we know what others thought of them. Because there's a whole gathering of people from everywhere in the Jewish world. Jews who lived in Jerusalem. People who come to know God through a Jewish faith. That missing element was Jesus and God's Spirit. But they didn't know what to make of it. Some of them mocked, and wherever we share the good news of Jesus, there'll be some who respond and others who won't. And I find it interesting, just doing a quick check, as to what happened to the disciples after the day of Pentecost. We know that Philip went down into the desert of Gaza to meet the Ethiopian, until he went on to probably Ethiopia and Greece. Thomas seemed to have made his way towards India, others to Armenia. And so they were spread out, sharing good news. But when you read about them, there's probably only one or two that lived out their life. They all faced persecution, but most of them were killed somewhere along the line before they reached a ripe old age. But yet, it didn't worry them. It was our peace. And for those who've been on a Tuesday afternoon, when we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, we'll remember that peace, God's peace, is something that nothing can take away. Whatever we go through in life, we have that inner peace, that inner contentment about being in relationship with God. So let's get back to this first Pentecost. It's suddenly all those who gathered round, you know, you just have something happen, everybody comes, and that's what happened. They heard the sound of the wind, they weren't quite sure what it was, they obviously saw something that looked like flames of fire. I mean, I don't know how Luke is describing it as best he can. And they were ready to hear what was going on. And the Spirit rested with tongues of flame on each of the disciples. The apostles, and they spoke the good news of Jesus, and people could understand because they spoke in their language. They didn't have to get out their phones and find Google Translate. They didn't have to whip through a dictionary and think, what does that word mean? Or rely on a translator who's probably half an hour behind. They could hear immediately. And when God's Spirit is at work, and people's hearts are open, they will respond. But for disciples, it was that time of preparation, that time of prayer, that time of waiting. And that brings us challenges and opportunities. It's not just about us as individuals, it's about us as a church, making time together to pray, which is a discipline, allowing God's Spirit to guide us and waiting for His Spirit to take us in that next step, which we might not know where it is or in what direction. I'm sure if you chat to one another around here, we all have different stories in our own lives about how God's Spirit has challenged us, taken us into directions we perhaps weren't expecting, in situations which we didn't know how to hack. But trusting, He's led us through. And to understand more of the Holy Spirit, read that Gospel reading from John again during the week, and ponder and think about it, and allow God's Spirit to work at you, in you, remembering, as for those early disciples, apostles, opportunities being opened up, not what they always expected. And as John was saying last week, if your memories are that good, talk about pieces of jigsaw. We have Jesus' birth, His crucifixion, His resurrection, last week we looked at the ascension, and the final bit, bit in the middle that holds it all together and moves us forward, the coming of the Holy Spirit in a very special way. And for each of us as a church, God's Spirit comes in different ways at different times, but He gives us challenges and opportunities. The Spirit opens doors into a liberating, open-ended array of possibilities made possible by the unconstrained Spirit of God. And may we discover afresh that unrestrained Spirit of God and the possibilities that we have with the strength of God. Amen.